Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two fantastic miracles of healing. We thank you, Lord God, for the compassion and authority of our Lord and for the humility and faith of these two men. And we pray that you'd open your word to us this morning for your glorious sake and your work in our lives. Amen. Well, Peter and I sat down some weeks ago to talk about this service, and even then I had a pretty fair idea that I would preach from this text in Matthew chapter 8. Two very different men approach Jesus to ask for healing. One asks for himself, the man with leprosy. One asks on the behalf of another, the centurion, for his servant. Both men are humble, respectful, and demonstrate real faith. These are two very moving encounters, full of surprises and full of encouragement to us as we reflect on the authority and the compassion of Jesus. And so to encounter number one, Jesus and the leper. Verse one, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Let me give some background to the scene. Jesus has just delivered the famous Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. It's possible this major block of teaching by Jesus was delivered over several days. Whether it was one day or more, he certainly drew big crowds and demonstrated real authority by his teaching. But now in Matthew 8, Jesus will further demonstrate his authority and lordship by his actions. The first of those is the healing of the leper in verses 1 to 4. Now, if we've ever taken time to read through the Sermon on the Mount, something I encourage all of us to do, we will know the thought and effort our Lord must have given to undertake this major piece of his teaching ministry. But no sooner had he finished and begun his walk down the mountainside with the crowds trailing behind him than a man with leprosy comes up to him and kneels before him. He's had no time to catch his breath, but he willingly listens to this man in need, who says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Leprosy had massive negative associations in the Palestine of Jesus' day. Lepers weren't permitted any social contact with other Jews. And in keeping with the guidelines in Leviticus 13, do you know that they had to shout out a warning if they were coming near other people? Some of them had a bell. It was regarded as highly contagious and incurable. It brought real grief to all who suffered from it. And of course, there are many cases still today, as I know firsthand from my years in East Africa. The leprosy mission do a remarkable job in bringing help and healing to sufferers in our own day. For a Jew of the first century, leprosy meant that you were ritually or ceremonially unclean, Leviticus 13:11. And you must live alone and outside the community, away from your family, your friends. Only the priest could declare that you were healed and were clean once more. And the chances of ever being healed from leprosy without any of our modern-day medicines and treatment, well, they were very slim. And so it's in desperation that this man comes to Jesus. He comes bravely. Yet in spite of his desperation, please note his attitude throughout the whole encounter. His humility. He knelt before Jesus. His respect. he called Jesus Lord. His faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He had complete confidence in Jesus' power to heal. But he doesn't coerce Jesus into a healing miracle. Instead, he respectfully acknowledges that he must submit to Jesus' will, eager though he is to have an end to his suffering. Well, Jesus' response is swift and dynamic. Verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. According to Leviticus 5:3, to touch the leper made Jesus himself ritually unclean. But it's through this very touch of Jesus and his authoritative command, be clean, that instant healing and cleansing is brought to the man with leprosy. Jesus' priority was to act with compassion and to honor the humility, respect, faith, and courage that this man had demonstrated. The leper clearly felt that he'd got nothing to lose by making his bold request. And quite wonderfully, he gained more than he'd probably had ever dreamed of. And in keeping with the guidelines of Moses from the Old Testament, the healed man is to show himself to the priest and offer the required gift, which was in fact two lambs. Jesus says this would be a testimony to them. In what way would it be a testimony? Well, first, it demonstrates that whatever the priests and others may say about Jesus, that he's subversive and breaks all the Jewish laws, Jesus, in fact, fulfills the law, just as he declared in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Secondly, going to the priest is a testimony in a second sense, in that it demonstrates to the religious authorities the miraculous powers of Jesus and points to his true identity. They would never be able to say, we had no idea of Jesus' power and authority. The healed leper can tell the priest his story, but he can't tell anyone else. Verse 4, see, you don't tell anyone. Jesus is willing to heal the sick who came to him or were brought to him, but his mission involved more than just healing miracles. He had a plan of salvation to execute and a team of disciples still to put together. That said, Matthew chapters 8 and 9 are packed full of miracles of healing. The compassion of Jesus was an overwhelming force within him. Which brings us to encounter number 2, Jesus and the centurion. Jesus is headed home to his house in Capernaum, and the first thing we're told is that shortly after his arrival, he's got a guest at the door. Verse 5. A centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. The leper wanted healing for himself. This man wants healing for someone else, his servant. That's commendable in itself, isn't it? But this is still the more remarkable because first, this man is foreign. He's not Jewish. He has no heritage with the faith of Jesus at all. And moreover, he's a man of considerable authority and standing, a centurion with 100 Roman soldiers under his command. The that a majority of the Roman force in Palestine came from Syria and Lebanon, and they were answerable to King Herod Antipas, the local vassal king whose loyalty was to Rome. How this Gentile centurion knew of Jesus, we're not told. But clearly he'd heard enough to convince him that he should go to the house of this Jesus and that he was just the man he needed at this time. The servant he mentions to Jesus was probably his personal assistant. Luke tells us in his account of the story that the servant was dear to him. The centurion makes plain his deep concern over his servant's state of health. He is paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus responds to the gravity of the situation by asking immediately, "Shall I come and heal him?" The question, in one sense, gives the centurion a moment to reflect on what he's really seeking. Is he wanting and expecting Jesus to heal this man? Does he believe that's really possible or probable? Well, his answer reveals the truth as he articulates the most extraordinary confidence and faith in a man that he has never met before and clearly only heard about. He says, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." It's remarkable, isn't it? Like the leper before him, the centurion demonstrates enormous respect, humility, and faith in his attitude towards Jesus. Respect. He too calls Jesus Lord. And although the word in Greek is really only equivalent to sir, it was still indicative of the centurion's awareness of Jesus' unique authority. It was the best title that he could find for him, the most honoring. Respect, humility. "I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Words that demonstrate a deep humility towards Jesus, and perhaps even the keen awareness that a Jewish teacher such as Jesus would probably never enter a Gentile home since it broke Jewish religious law. Yet by Jesus' question, "Shall I come and heal him?" it's clear Jesus had no intention of following such a law. For Jesus' love always took precedence over legalism. Respect, humility, and faith. "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Up to now in Matthew's gospel, there's been no healing from a distance by Jesus. Such a miracle would be unprecedented in his ministry thus far. But that doesn't deter our centurion. He's got complete faith in the power of Jesus to heal. He gives the example of his own world of work, the Roman army. He gives out orders and they're obeyed. Verse 9, "I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes." He's not present each time to see that this specific command is obeyed, but he knows it is. He says it, and it happens. He therefore concludes that when it comes to miraculous healing, Jesus' world of work, it's really no different. Jesus gives the command for healing, and it happens, even to a desperately sick man many miles away. Very rarely in the Gospels is Jesus described as amazed. Far more common is the description of amazement in the people's response to Jesus himself. But this centurion, who's turned up at the door unannounced and demonstrated such extraordinary confidence in Jesus, leads our Lord to utter some astonishing words. He says, verse 10, addressing the crowd gathering by the door, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Those listening no doubt found this impossible to comprehend. It was revolutionary. A heaven, a kingdom of God where Gentiles were welcomed and honored on equal terms with Jews? This couldn't be. But then, of course, such doubters weren't to know of Lydia or Cornelius or the Philippian jailer or the Ethiopian treasurer and the many more who had come to Christ from Asia Minor and Europe during the explosive ministry that the book of Acts records. "Heaven will surprise many," says Jesus, "because some will be included and others excluded in a way that will be completely unexpected by some. There will be unspeakable anguish," verse 12, "in those who wrongly assume they receive automatic entry into heaven." Jesus warns his fellow Jews against spiritual complacency. The subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside. Genuine faith, not race, not background, not nationhood, faith will be the criteria for entry into the kingdom of which Jesus is king. And with his audience no doubt in stunned amazement at these words, this was revolutionary teaching. Jesus now turns back to the centurion to speak words of authority and of great reassurance to this very remarkable Roman officer. "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And Matthew faithfully records the telling fact: his servant was healed at that moment. Two remarkable people, the leper and the centurion. They were marked by humility, respect for the Lord, and genuine faith. The centurion's example shows that anyone can look to the Lord for help, even they may have no history of faith before. Perhaps that's some of you this morning. You're welcome, as Peter has said, to come forward for prayer. This morning, as we approach a time of prayer for healing, it needs to be said we live in a different era, but it's the same God that we look to. The Lord Jesus is now back, reigning in heaven, but we can pray in his name, as he encouraged his people to do. We don't know why, when some prayers are made for healing or anything else, they may be answered in a very positive way, and at other times, there's real disappointment. But we know God's character, don't we? We can trust his best will in all situations. There's nothing wrong with asking and seeking the Lord for help. The leper did that, the centurion did that, and Jesus honored that. We can knock at the door of God's heart and ask. Asking seeking, knocking. The leper had faith, but he couldn't possibly know the outcome. The centurion had faith, but he couldn't know the end of the story. To ask for healing then and to ask now is to step out in faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's looking to the God of compassion. And as we do that, we come humbly, respectfully, and believing that in God's hands, well, anything is possible. But we're subordinate to His will and accepting of His will, hard though that may be. Because we were taught to pray, Lord, Your will be done. May it be done today.